Welcome to The Watchman, your weekly one-hour expose on Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times in which we live, because the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think.
Thank you. Come on, declare it tonight, everybody. Sing it. Nobody. Not Buddha. Not Muhammad. But Jesus. There's no God.
Good evening and welcome to The Watchman as we continue our study of the end times and the coming of the Lord. We actually are still kind of studying the book of Revelation and we're getting, well, more or less to the end of it. But last time I spoke about the period of the millennium, what's going to happen then, what's going to happen after the millennium. And I told you that after the 1,000 years in which Jesus will rule and reign on earth with the saints, who will have been raptured earlier on, or even those who have been saved when Jesus comes the third time to rule and reign on earth. Now that might, if you're hearing this for the first time and you say, oh, Jesus coming the third time, I thought he's coming twice. We said that he came the first time as a baby, he's coming the second time to rapture the church, but that time he will not touch the earth. And the Bible says he will come the third time and he will set his feet on the Mount Olives, and the mountain will split between two. And if you have been following this program, you know that you come at a time when the whole world is up against Jerusalem to take it. Because so many times the Bible calls Jerusalem the city of God. Now there is going to be a lot of dispute over the city of Jerusalem at the time that it comes. It already is there right now, because I've spoken to you before and told you that the nation of Israel does not mind accepting a Palestinian state in the Middle East. The trouble is, where will the capital of that state be? The Palestinians seem to prefer to have it as Jerusalem, East Jerusalem to be precise. But Israel will not give up the city of Jerusalem, and they shall not actually ever give up the city of Jerusalem. But there's going to be a fight over it, because the international community, that is the nations of the world that will be under the Antichrist. Every time you hear international community, you just know that's the nations of the world that are under the Antichrist. It's actually the thinking of the Antichrist, the thinking of the devil, precisely. So the international community is going to come up against Israel, and there's going to be such an uproar, a negative force kind of towards Israel, and they will be seen as a big enemy because they will want them to give up the city of Jerusalem. Why is that? Because the Bible says they will not give it up. And I told you that the devil will do everything in his power, using all the international forces in the world, to make sure that even one scripture does not come to pass. I told you, if there is one prophecy of the Bible, just a minute prophecy in the Bible, that does not come to pass, then the devil does not have to be in hell forever. Because then he can say, I mean, the point is this, if the devil can fail to, if the devil can make one prophecy not to come to pass, then he does not have to be in hell forever, because then God is a liar like him, so God has no more authority to judge him. So what does that mean? That means every one of those prophecies has to come to pass, because the devil is going to be in hell whether he likes it or not. Now, but he's going to try to make it not come to pass. That's the point. And he's going to use all the forces on earth to make sure it happens that way. Now, so the whole world will come up against Jerusalem. That's when the third coming will come. I mean, will take place when it's written about in the book of Joel, assemble nations, the valley of decision, the battle of Armageddon, in the valley of decisions. And the valley is just out there of Megiddo, just outside the city of Jerusalem, where the fight will take place, the battle of Armageddon. And at the peak of the battle, when Israel seem to be losing it, and they seem like they have nowhere else to go, they've run out of weapons, they've run out of allies, and they've lost a third of their men. The Bible actually says that a third of them will be killed in that war. Now, at the peak of it, when they think they have no place to go, their backs are to the wall, then they will say, now, Messiah, we heard that you are supposed to come. Because remember, they don't believe that Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. So they say, Messiah, if we heard that you are supposed to come, now if you're ever going to come, I think now would be a good time for you to come, because we need salvation right now. Then he will show up. And the Bible says, of course I'm repeating all these things because I've said them a number of times. The Bible says he shows up, and then of course all the forces of the enemy are split in two, are defeated basically just at the sight of him, because he comes, Christ comes in all his glory. Now he comes as God. He does not come as a savior like he did 2,000 years ago. He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So everybody who is fighting against him splits. Who is fighting against now the Israel look at him, and the Bible says they see the scars in his palms. And the Bible says in the book of Zechariah that they ask him, Messiah, where did you get these scars? I mean these scars. And Jesus tells them that I got these scars from the house of my friends. Then suddenly they realize that it was Jesus all along they were waiting for, that Jesus is the Messiah. Now that is the salvation of the Jews, because then they will realize, and the Bible says still in the book of Zechariah that they will weep, they will mourn like one mourns for his only child, when they realize that for 2,000 years they had refused to believe somebody who actually was the Messiah. Now, then the millennium comes. Now, I told you that the reign of the millennium is just like, I mean, the world continues as is, only right now the world is ruled by the devil. The Bible says, 1 John chapter 5, that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. And 1 Corinthians 4:4 says that, 2 Corinthians actually 4:4 says that, calls the devil the god of this world. Okay, now he's the mind that kind of controls the way people think generally, except of course those who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But the world generally, that's why the Bible says those who love the world, I mean the love of God is not in them, because there is this contradiction between the world and God, which is all over scripture. Now the reason that is because the devil is the god of this world. He's the one who controls the way the systems of this world and all everything else. Now that time, even the people who live on this world, everything will be perfected the way it was, because it will be Jesus and his saints, that includes you and me, hopefully. I mean, hopefully meaning that we are there until the end. But that includes you and me ruling in the world, in the heavenly places. Ruling in the heavenly places. Now, what that means is that they will be like angels, more or less. We will be like angels up in the airs, ruling in the heavenly places. The same way that, let's say, the devil now is ruling with his demons, you understand? Now, they will be ruling with Christ, and will be like angels, who will actually have the features of an angel. So we'll basically be in heaven, but we'll be on earth, ruling on earth. You understand what I'm saying? And we'll have the resurrection body, we'll be able to move across the world, and ruling in the principalities above. Now that's what it means, we'll reign with Christ. But there will be people on earth, normal people with mortal bodies, and people will be born at that time. I told you it will be a unique time because that's the time that Isaiah 65 says that the lion will lie with the lamb, and they will not hurt each other, and the child will lead, you know, but will put his hand in a cobra, in a viper's den, and it shall not be hurt. And, you know, the little kid shall lead out the, you know, the wolf and things like that. That's because, as I spoke earlier, much earlier on, God did not create any animal to eat a fellow animal. By the way, that is not God's original purpose. If you read Genesis 1:30, he actually said he created the animals and gave them grass for food. So the original plan of God is actually lions. Even lions are supposed to eat grass. That's how God intended. Read the book of Genesis, the creation. But because of the tampering of the DNA which happened during the times of Noah, that actually animals started eating fellow animals. By the way, even men were not supposed to eat animals. But don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with having. I mean, I'm not trying to preach anything like don't eat meat. But the original plan of God was even men were not supposed to eat. I mean, for food, we are supposed to have the herbs, the plants, and have animals, even the carnivorous animals like lions, we are supposed to have herbs. Now, when Jesus Christ comes and reigns on earth, it is going to go back that way. That's why the lion will be lying with the lamb, and none of them shall hurt the other. And the Bible says, still in the later chapters of Isaiah 63, 64, 65, especially, actually, and 66, which talks about how it is at the end, those chapters of the book of Isaiah, an incredible book, by the way. I mean, I don't think there's a more poetic book. I was studying the book of Isaiah recently, and I don't think there's any more poetic book in the world than the book of Isaiah. It's just amazing. It is, and it's how it's a picture of the whole Bible, the book of Isaiah. How the Bible has 66 books, and Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Old Testament has 39 books, and the first 39 books of the book of Isaiah actually speak condemnation, more or less like the Old Testament, and they are in that light, condemnation. Now, Isaiah 40 starts with comfort, comfort my people. Now that is a transfer from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's actually a picture of the whole Bible, the book of Isaiah. That's something I'm not going to get into, but the point is that so that's how the millennium is going to be. Nobody hurting nobody, because Christ is reigning on in the heavenlies with the saints, and the saints having different jurisdictions in accordance to their reward, in accordance to what they did when they were on earth. Now, I told you before, last time, that then there will be longevity. People will be living for quite long. People shall not be dying at the ages they die, because few people are ever expected to go past the age of 100, probably even 90, even 80. The Bible says that 70 years, but by the reason of his strength, it shall be 80 years. Now, that's in the book of the Psalms. But, of course, earlier on, God had said, I shall not contend with man, for his days shall be 120 years. But you see, the time of man is decreasing in as the evil increases. Now, eventually, when Christ is reigning, people will be living for so many years, like they did in the days of Adam, like Methuselah and things like that. The Bible actually says, still in the book of Isaiah 65, that a child shall die at 100 years. So somebody dies at 100 years, and that's just a child. People say, wow, he or she died so young. 100 years, that's just a kid. 100 years. So people will be living 800, 700 years at the time. But some people will still be born in the millennium. Now, I'm getting to my point. Some people will be born in the millennium and will not have seen the evil that we see today. They will not have seen, you know, the tough choices that we have to make. Between being surrounded by evil and having to, evil pulling you one direction, and yet actually choosing to live for God amidst the evil world. So they would have grown up basically in good times. However, at the end of the 1,000 years, and I told you before, the 1,000 years, as the Bible says, the devil, Satan, will be bound and put in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Will be bound by the angel, Michael, and put in the bottomless pit. Now, after that, he shall be released. The devil shall be released. And the Bible says, and he shall be permitted to tempt the nations one more time. So he will come and start deceiving people another time. Why is that? Why does the Lord let him lose to come and deceive people again? Because everybody has to make a choice. Nobody, if those people were born in the millennium and had only seen the reign of Christ, were not exposed to evil, then they would not have made a choice. You have to be exposed to evil and choose good for you to qualify to be with God, with Christ in heaven. Okay? Now, even those people will be given a chance to face the devil and either choose to go with him or choose to stay with Christ. By the way, some will choose to go with the devil, because the Bible says you will actually gather up the nations one more time to fight against the reign of Christ. And then the devil will finally be defeated. But then so many people who would have grown up and lived in the time of Christ will still choose to go with the devil when he's released after 1,000 years. The point in all of this is that the power of decision, what makes you qualify to go to heaven or not, is that you decide to believe in Christ, to live for Christ. You decide to be for Christ. You can decide something else, and the decision is yours. God is not going to take away your decision. That's the one thing he gave man that cannot be withdrawn, your decision. But of course, the consequences of the decision exist. So you make a decision and you face the consequences. Now that is true even for every one of us here today. Every moment of every day of our lives, we come up against decisions. And they might be big, they might be small, but every decision has a consequence. And God did not predestine what decision you will make. But what is predestined is the consequence of that decision. You understand what I'm saying? So if something comes up tomorrow, let's say you face a temptation tomorrow, and you can decide to resist it, you can decide to fall for it, that was never predestined by God. It is you who decides at that moment when it comes. However, the consequence of that decision has always been there. You can take this way, you can take the other way. That's why God says, I've set before you life and death, choose life. Okay? It is not he who chooses, but when you choose, then you decide what happens for you. And says, choose life and so that it shall be good for you and your descendants. So that's the whole point. Now, every one of us has to come to a point where you have to make a decision, not just to believe in Christ, but after you believe in Christ, to live for him. Every moment is a decision. Every time you have to make a decision to listen to God or not to listen to him. Now, there are so many people who walk in darkness because they don't quite understand how to pick the signals from heaven, even if the signals are there. Now, of course, there are some religions which teach that you can't hear from God and, things like that. And they've basically chosen to be dead. That's their choice, okay? If you're following a religion that has chosen to be dead, don't be dead with them. Because Jesus Christ says in John 10 that my sheep hear my voice. Okay? So if you are his sheep, you must hear his voice. You must know how to hear his voice. It's not something you immediately learn, but after a while, everybody has to know how to hear the voice of God. I mean, has to, not know it, because you hear it, you know it, even if you don't recognize it, but you always hear it. He always talks and you always hear, even if you don't quite recognize it as distinctly as you should. But that does not change. The Holy Spirit leads you, and there are some people are led more or less by default, but that is for kids. I mean, that's largely for kids. Just like you, when you're walking in a supermarket with a young child, let's say 1.5 years, I mean, you're leading them by force. They want to run this direction, you pull them back. They want to run this direction, you pull them back, and things like that. But that is how it starts. And usually, sometimes the Bible says the path of a righteous man is guided of the Lord. But it's not supposed to stay like that. Now, when you're mature, when the child gets to 7 years, you don't keep on pulling him left, right. You just tell him, take this route, and you expect him to do what you have told him. Now, the trouble is so many Christians expect to stay young, and God is pulling you out of ditches which you are going to go in, yet actually you've matured to a point where you should actually be listening to him and knowing you should not take that direction because there is a ditch. Now, of course, you can't tell a child of 1.5 years, don't go there, you're going to fall in the ditch. He will not listen to you because he's not at that age. You will have to wait and save him from the ditch every time. So a child that age is always being saved out of ditches. However, when a child grows, you tell him, don't do this because this is going to happen. And he is supposed to hear and do that. Now, of course, the question is, so many people would want to, let's say, that I want to obey God. I wish I would know. I wish I would listen to him. And I wish I knew his voice. I wish I could distinctly say that God told me this. Some people say, I've never heard from God. Of course, that is not true. Because you have, you may not have heard him. I mean, you may not have comprehended as distinctly as you should, but you did hear from him. And you always do hear from him. And everybody who is born again and a child of God always hears from God. The question is, how do you perfect it and make it a part of your life? That's the big thing. And how does God often speak to people? Now, I'm just going to run through a few things here for the purpose of people who might be at that stage wanting to know, how does God speak to people? I mean, because of course you speak to people who will tell you, God has been teaching me this and that, and they have perfected, you know, hearing from God through so many ways. And there are so many ways in which God deals with his children, and they hear from him. But then there are those who cannot tell you that because maybe they are born again, they pray, they read the Bible, but they never quite expect to hear from God. And so they don't really hear from God. And yet God actually wants you to hear him distinctly, and, you know, you communicate with him at all times. That is, he loves that more than you love it. He wants that more than you want it. When you have a child who is not speaking, let's say, but is about the age of speaking, let's say between 2 and 3 years, I mean, you want the child to talk more than the child wants to talk. Why is that? Because you are interested in the child learning your language. Children have their language, but they can't speak their language forever. Now, it is up to the parent to teach the child the language of adults, because they are going to need that language all their lives. They can't speak child language all their lives. Now, in Christianity, God will lead you in certain ways when you're a child, because you're a child. But he wants you to learn the language of adults, the language of the Spirit, so that you can commune with his Spirit, because it's the language you're going to be using for all eternity. You're not going to be speaking English in heaven, or whatever language you speak. You'll be speaking the language of the Spirit in heaven, so you have to learn it, because it's what you're going to be communicating with in eternity. Just like a child will have to learn a language of instruction, whatever it is, English, Luganda, whatever, because they are going to be speaking it all their lives with fellow adults. So, but here is one of the most important and the cardinal ways that God speaks to people. Now, this is the most important, it's the most cardinal, and if you master this, you have nothing to be worried about. Okay? And it is called, the Bible says in Colossians 3:15, that let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Okay? Now, that's a very important thing, scripture, because it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, when something you are supposed to do or you are not supposed to do takes a certain inner peace away from you, that is a leading from God that you should never ignore. You understand? Of course, it's easier to give examples for this than it is to tell you. I'll give you examples. There's this guy I know who is actually a businessman, and he's born again. He's been collecting money, saving up money to buy himself a piece of land, because he wanted to build, he wanted to get some property. Now, when he's gathered up some money in the bank, somebody comes with a plot of land, and the land actually has a not so bad house, but he can renovate and make his house, and it's at a fairly good price, and it's in a good place, and it's a perfect deal. So here is the thing. He has the money, there is a piece of land, it's in a good place for him, it's at a good price, and the price that is within his reach, and he actually, you know, is interested in it. Now he surveys the land, he looks at the property, and everything is perfect. Everything is perfect. His mind gives it an absolute tick. Just go and get the money and pay for the land. This is a God-given, you know, deal. But there's one small problem. His heart is not comfortable with it. So he's supposed to be happy about it, but he is not happy. He does not have the inner peace in him.
So he's wondering, what's wrong with this land? Because everything in my mind is telling me the land is right. Only something inside me, in a deeper part of me, in my spirit, is flagging a red flag. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. So this gentleman battles with it. Every time he goes to the bank to withdraw the money, he actually feels like he's going to steal money which belongs to him. Because there's something inside him which is screaming, don't do it. So he's not comfortable with it. Now the gentleman who is selling the land tells him, look, if you don't pay within this time, there are other people who are interested, so you're losing your chance. And then he knows in his mind that this is it's going to be a while before you'd get an opportunity this good. And then but when he goes to get the money, something is not right. He's not feeling right about it. So a number of times he actually went to the bank and walked away from the bank without getting the money, because he did not feel right about it. Anyhow, at the end of it all, he calls the other gentleman and says, I'm not buying the piece of land. Why? Because he chose to listen to that inner man, not to his mind. So he did not buy the land. To cut a long story short, a few months later, somebody came and bought the land, and they didn't know that actually there was a huge dispute over the land. And to cut a long story short again, the other guy bought Mpewo. So now that's how God saves his people. Your mind does not know what is ahead. Your mind does not know hidden things. But your spirit does, because you are a spirit. You are cardinally a spirit. You are like any other spirit. You're a ghost, basically. You are a ghost, okay? That's who God created. He created your body and your soul later, but he created you as a spirit. Now, your spirit sees ahead, sees behind, knows everything. That's why the Bible says in the book of 1 John, you have the anointing and you need not be taught anything, because you know all things. Now, your spirit knows, and your spirit has been enforced by the Holy Spirit. So now, when your spirit sees something ahead, and it is not good, your spirit sees that this piece of land which you want to buy is Mpewo, your spirit is going to resist, because it does not want you to lose your money which you've saved. So your spirit is screaming and telling you, don't do it. But your mind is telling you, this is a good deal, because your mind can only deal with what it sees. Okay? Now this gentleman, because he listened to his spirit and not to his mind, he saved himself. He saved himself a lot of, he saved himself a loss. Now the other guy who bought the land ended up in court. A case lasted 6 years and what, you know, the long story. And this man remained with his money and saved it from fraudsters. Now that is the main and most cardinal way in which God leads his people. If you're going into something, I'll tell you, so many people who ended up in wrong marriages, and they will tell you, I felt something was not right about it. The guy looked perfect, he looked okay, he has a good job, but something inside me was not feeling good about it. If that something refuses to feel good about it, don't force it. Don't use your mind to subdue your spirit. That something inside you that is giving you sleepless nights over something which outwardly appears good is your spirit. And your spirit is the candlelight of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, Proverbs 2:20, I think so. So do not ignore it. Listen to it. Every time you feel uneasy about something, not in your mind. Now, every time you feel uneasy in your mind, or rather in yourself, in your spirit, and it is not from your mind, it is not from knowledge that you have mentally, but your mental knowledge seems to be pushing in a certain direction, but this other inner man seems to be pulling away from that direction, always follow the inner man. I'll give you other examples. Let's say you have a visitation. A friend of mine told me he was visited by Jesus. Okay? Now he's there in his room, then this bright person comes. Okay? Looks like Jesus, appears like Jesus, but is not Jesus. It's actually the devil camouflaging as Jesus. Now, because this person wanted to believe that it is Jesus, but something inside him was flagging red, telling him, no. He's not feeling at peace. Outwardly, he wants to believe this Jesus. Outwardly, this looks like Jesus, but inwardly, something is screaming. So eventually, he got to know that the person wasn't Jesus. The person actually was a demon, or probably even the devil himself, camouflaging as Jesus. So the point is this. When you learn how to listen to that inner person inside you, you cannot even get false prophecies. You cannot get false visitations. I have a brother of mine who entered a cultic church. They were singing the same songs that good churches sing, praising the same way, saying. But as soon as he walked inside the church, something inside his spirit started stirring him up. And it wasn't right. He didn't feel right about it. And I mean, he's from another, you know, he was actually from out the country. And it's a Sunday, he wants to go and worship. So he's passing someplace. He sees people, he hears, you know, people worshiping. So he says, let me go and fellowship here. And he gets there and something is red. There's a red flag inside him. And he walked out on the basis of the red flag. Now, of course, a few after staying in Kampala for a short while, he realized that it was actually a cult and a very bad cult. But you don't have to know that in your head. If you learn how to follow your spirit, you'll save yourself so many problems. So if somebody comes and tells you, God is telling me this about you, God is telling me this about you, if you just listen to your spirit, if it is from the Holy Spirit, it will connect with what is inside you. If it is not from the Holy Spirit, what is inside you, if you're born again, will start flagging red and you know this is fake. Okay? It is just, okay, it's not that simple. I want to say it's just that simple, but it is not. It is something which you have to practice all the time because you have it. Now, there are so many ways that you can use the guidance. That's the cardinal guidance of the Spirit. There are so many ways you can use it. I'll give you an example. Some evenings, I am seated having a cup of coffee somewhere and on Wednesday, and I have to come here and, well, for the watchman. So it gets to 8, and I think, okay, I have to go for the watchman, come to Spirit FM, but I'm worried there might be a jam and I could run late. So which is the best route for me to take to avoid jam? I don't use my head, I use my spirit. Because my spirit can see the whole of Kampala, I just have to tune. My spirit is like any other spirit, okay? So what do? I think about the routes that are in question. So I said, do I pass Wandegeya? Do I pass? Now, when I think about, I just open my mind and start thinking about, let's say, one route. Let's say passing Wandegeya, Makerere Hill Road. Now, if I think about that and my spirit is not happy with that, I sense in my spirit that that's not right. Then I cancel it. Then I think about another route. Then probably I also cancel it in my spirit. Then the third route, when I think about it, I get a certain sense of openness, of actually happiness, and almost like, yeah, that's the route to take. And I can use that for so many things because I have the Holy Spirit in me, and the Holy Spirit guides me through my spirit. So, by canceling out, thinking about one thing, then you think about, I think about it with my mind, but then I listen to what my spirit says. I mean, people have used this thing. There's a gentleman whom I was reading in a book who was dealing in stock exchange. And he became a millionaire by just listening to his spirit. How did he do that? When he was going to invest in stocks, he listened to his spirit. Because your spirit knows which stock is going to rise and fall. But you see, you people have a lot of treasure inside you. You have the whole Godhead living inside you, but you don't want to use it. You want to use your mind. And your mind is stuffed with things which you have been taught from P1, which don't works on the best. Your mind works on the basis of precedence. If you passed one day the other time and it was okay, your mind tells you pass one day again. But today there might be, maybe the presidential convoy was passing and there is a big jam. Your mind does not know that, but your spirit would know it. So this gentleman went and would go. Sometimes you'd even go and fast. Why fast? So that the mind shuts down, because the mind needs food to operate, but the spirit does not. And there is, of course, there is no rule of fasting. Eh? This was just his choice. But sometimes when your mind is very active, which stocks are you going to buy? Experts are telling you this. Experts are telling you this. Don't buy this stock. These ones are going to go up. These ones are going to go down, according to so-called experts. So your mind is full of that. Shut up your mind if you can. If you can't, actually, one of the ways of shutting up your mind is by fasting. Because eventually your mind becomes dull. And when your mind becomes dull, your spirit becomes more active. So this gentleman, sometimes but not always, would go and think about all the stocks and fast. Then his spirit would guide him. And he would think about this, think about, just basically use that intuition inside him. And then he would go and purchase stocks. So many times the stocks you would purchase would be contrary to what experts are saying. And people would say he's stupid. But all the time, he struck it big. All the time, he struck it big. Because when people were selling, his spirit often would tell him, buy those ones. So he buys them at a cheap price. Because people are expecting them to fall. But they don't fall. Instead of falling, they rise. Now, when they are rising and people now are buying them back, then his spirit tells him that now they're actually going to fall. You said yours. So he made, I hope you understand if you're somebody who deals in stocks. So he made a lot of money and became a millionaire by simply listening to that intuition inside him. Now I want you to understand this, that God will speak to you through other means, okay? He can speak to you it can be a direct voice from God. It can even sometimes be audible, like Samuel. You remember Samuel when he was a kid, when he thought Eli was calling him, and it was the Lord calling him. Although that does not frequently happen. It's not a very frequent thing. Mostly, he speaks through your spirit in a way that nobody outside can hear. But sometimes it can sound so loud, and you think people have heard, yet actually they haven't. And he will speak to you through many other ways. But if you master that, you will not be deceived. Because people fear that the devil will manipulate them. The one thing the devil cannot manipulate is the peace of God inside your spirit. What I'm telling you, your intuition. That one the devil cannot manipulate. He can come and even appear to you like Jesus, like he did to my friend. But if you listen to that intuition inside you, he cannot change it. It will always be the voice of the spirit as long as you are a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit inside you. So whatever happens outside you, whatever happens, even if an angel comes to you, even if this... If Jesus himself appeared to you, your spirit inside you would be bubbling with excitement because you have the spirit of Jesus inside you and it connects instantly with this Jesus. Now, if your spirit inside you is not bubbling with excitement, then that's not Jesus. It's a fake. You understand what I'm saying? Because that the spirit that you have inside you is the same spirit of Jesus. Now, if your spirit is resisting this person who appears to be Jesus, then that is a fake. Now, when you learn that, then you learn all the other ways of whatever. But now, one of the most cardinal ways, now people have been using this. Actually, some people from when I started have been sending me. Now, I want to talk this other way. Now, but please go and practice that. I'm not going to talk about it again. Just go and practice it. Remember, the Holy Spirit wants you to hear him more than you want to hear him. Just like a parent wants the child to talk more than the child wants to talk. The parent is excited at the first word, the second word. That's how God is. He's excited when you hear, when you listen. And he will tell you small things to try and help you differentiate between your mind and him. And these are things that God takes you through because it's very important for him if he's going to use you to understand. I remember a while ago when I made up my mind that I wanted to totally differentiate between the voice of my mind and the voice of the Holy Spirit, or the voice of my spirit and the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, and the Lord would tell me things which could be verified in a short time so that I could learn if it is him or if it is not him. So sometimes he would tell me this is going to happen and something which was supposed to happen in like 30 minutes. Now and I would be sure the Lord has spoken to me, but sometimes it would not happen, then I would know that was my mind. Then other times it would happen, then I would know that was the Lord. So over a period of time, of practice, then you start knowing that that's not the Lord, this is my mind. So you basically differentiate the two, and the Lord is helping you all the while, like a parent helps a child to talk, you understand? So when a parent tells a child, go and get for me that cup, it's not because the parent wants the cup, he's trying to help the child understand. Go and get for me that cup. If the child brings the cup, then you say, yeah, he's now learning to listen to my language. You understand? So that's precisely how God operates with you. If you start, make up your mind to start. So I remember it would be small things. I remember one time I was seated outside my compound at night, late in the night, praying. And I would just put a chair out there and sit and pray. Now I was there and the clouds gathered. I've told this story to so many people. Now the clouds gathered and a storm was brewing. A very heavy storm was brewing. There was lightning, there was thunder, and there was a thick sky, and it was definitely going to rain. So as I was praying, I just happened to say, I just happened to, and when I'm praying, I'm basically talking to God. So I told him, wow, it is really is going to rain tonight. And you know what he told me? He told me that it should be raining right now, but you are the one stopping it. So he told me that when you're finished, when you're through praying and you get back inside the house, then it will rain. But now it cannot rain as long as you're out here praying. I said, okay, really? So, but I was still learning how to hear the voice of God. So I said, let me see. So I prayed for about another 30 minutes. Then I got tired of my own. Meanwhile, the storm up, it's heavy. And as soon as I stepped off the veranda, I mean, as soon as I stepped out of the compound and into the house and looked up, it started pouring. So I knew, okay, that was God telling me that. I'm giving you an example. And then, of course, so many times I would think he has told me something, then it is not true, then I know it wasn't him. So after a period of time, through elimination, you actually get to know when it is God and when it is just your mind. Now, you know, I just want you to go and start practicing this. It is going to be very important for you in this end time, because we are going to, because the children of evil are going to be getting direct instructions from their master. Now, the children of God have got to be getting direct instructions from the Holy Spirit. It is very important. You cannot leave religion. You cannot leave this end time in some kind of religion that, after all, I go to church on Sunday and I pray and I pray every once in a while. You understand? This is not a time for religion, because the forces that are going to be against you are going to be spiritual. Now, you have to be spiritual as well. Otherwise, it is going to be very difficult for you to survive. I mean, I'm being honest with you, okay? That's why Jesus said, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man when he comes. Luke 21:36. That's why he said that, okay? Now, I want every one of us who is, whatever your disposition, whatever your belief, whatever what, the Bible says, as many, Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you are led by the Spirit of God as long as you're a son of God, even if you don't acknowledge it. Just start acknowledging it and build it and make it a part of your daily existence. Make it a part of your daily existence. There will be mistakes along the way. Don't worry. There is nobody who learns anything without making mistakes. Okay? There will be mistakes. Just don't worry about them. Secondly, I want you to start heeding your dreams. There are so many people who dream things and they just forget them. They don't think about them. They don't give them any second, you know, thought. And yet that God is using dreams a big deal in leading people through dreams big time. And so many people are getting spiritual dreams and they are not acknowledging the importance thereof. Yet other people have learned that importance. So many people have been sending me emails on the Watchman email address, asking me to help interpret their dreams. I actually think I've interpreted all the dreams that people have sent me. But I mean, if you overwhelm me with dreams, I will not interpret them. But of course, if you send, I might interpret some. But the point is that sometimes a lot of those dreams require a lot of, you know, thinking and putting myself in a certain mind to get the interpretation thereof, because a dream is relayed to you with characters that mean something to you. You understand? Those characters mean something to you. So if you know, so usually the easiest person to interpret a dream is the person who dreams it. Because God will use somebody in the dream whom you know for a certain purpose. For instance, if you know somebody to be a thief, God might use that person, let's say, to show you that you're getting into a deal where they are going to steal you. Or rather, where they are going to, I mean, defraud you. Sorry about the small English problem, where they are going to defraud you. So the dream might come in the form of, you're getting into this deal, you're excited about it, but God is trying to warn you. So maybe in a dream, he shows you that you're working with somebody whom in your real life you know to be a thief and a fraudster. So things like that. So and all these things happen all the time. God does not want you to lose any money. He does not want you to fall into ditches and come out all the time. He prefers that you listen to him. He prefers that you grow up. Okay? Of course, if your kid falls in a ditch, you pull him out and, well, clean him up. And sometimes even take him to a doctor and maybe cover up a wound. But you prefer he doesn't. You prefer that he stays straight online. Now, that's what now. That's how God wants you to be, so that you heed all the warnings in your life, you heed all the directions. Now, of course, there are some people who are so stuck in their mind that they can't, even when they get a clear-cut dream, they will still want to reason with their minds. Now, of course, they can't be helped. There's a friend of mine who fasted 3 days, got a dream. He came to me. I gave him the clear interpretation, and he decided not to do it. So I wondered, why did he bother fasting? Because if he wanted to use his mind, he should have used his mind from the start. What's the point in fasting if you're not going to listen to what your spirit is telling you? Because your mind, if you're going to use your mind, you don't need to fast. Actually, fasting is contrary to the energy that your mind needs. So eat as much food, use your mind, if that's what you've chosen. But if God gives you a direction through a dream, and you're sure it's from God, yet again, test it through what I've already told you. If you get a dream and you don't have, and you feel there's something inside you resisting it, cancel it. Because some dreams are not, some are of the flesh, some are not right, you understand? Some are counterfeit and not of God, but many of them are actually of God. So learn how to heed dreams. And learn how to, just open up your mind to the fact that you want God to lead you. Now, that's all he needs, because, he's a father. I hope you understand now. As long as you decide that I want to be led by God, and you make that conscious decision inside you, he himself will start guiding you, because he sees that decision and he loves it, because he loves to guide you. Okay? So he says, okay, thank you so much. You've decided you want my guidance. Now let's start. Let's start this lesson. All these lessons on hearing from God start with a decision on your part. Lord, I want to learn how to hear from you. And he says, really, that's the best thing you've said today. Now, let's start. And then he starts guiding you like a loving father. Because there is nothing he wants more than you hearing from him. You understand? So, learn how to heed your dreams. And the other things, of course, that will come ahead in terms of hearing from God. When you develop these things, then you will be able to heed some small advice. Now, the third one which I want to talk about before I end is what I call an impression, which, by the way, the Lord leads me a great deal. Okay? When I'm going to talk about something, let's say even here on radio, I get an impression, a strong impression, that something has to be addressed. And that's sometimes how so many times the Lord leads. By the way, it's a very much way in which God leads mature people. He gives you a strong impression about something. So you wake up one day and suddenly you feel something impressing inside you, a strong impression that something. And you've heard them, all of you people hearing. Haven't you ever felt one day that you are supposed to call somebody and you feel this strong impression that you should call a certain person? And so many times you call them and maybe they are an answer to a question you needed. You needed an answer for, or something. I remember a friend of mine had invited us to go and have, I think it was Easter weekend, so we were going to his house to go and, have a nice time, eat some, meat and everything. And basically, fellowship. So as I'm coming from there, satisfied and what, then I get an impression, a very strong impression, that I should call somebody, okay? A certain lady who is a single mother and had not thought about, used to go to the same church a while ago, but somebody whom I had not thought about. Suddenly I get, her name comes into my mind, and then it comes very strongly, and I get this strong impression that I'm supposed to call her. So the more long I go, the more I feel it impressed on me very strongly that I should call her. So I did. And I called her. It was a Saturday, Easter Saturday. Basically, she needed help. She was broke. She had no money for food, nothing. She was basically trusting God for provision. And God impressed it on me to call her because he wanted me to be the answer. So, to cut a long story short, I found a way of getting her some supplies. And that's how God deals with people. Now, that is God. So, somebody is praying. And then God impresses on you very strongly, either even to pray for somebody. You kneel down to pray, and you want to pray for yourself or for something else, then you get a strong impression about somebody, that somebody needs prayers. Now, when you learn how to heed those small things, you will grow in the knowledge of what God wants you to do. they start small. Everything in the kingdom starts small. But the more you heed it, the more you pay attention to it, the more it, the further it grows, and the stronger it becomes, and the more of an expert you become at those things. So you are supposed to pray for something else, then you get a very strong impression that you should pray for somebody. So you pray for that person. And it turns out that the person was in serious trouble at the time that you got that impression. And because of your prayers, they were saved from trouble. Now, those are things that every Christian should aspire to, you know, to lead their lives by, okay? You should aspire to, because that's how, I mean, it shows when you're like that, you're in the army of God, serving the purpose of God, and, you know, and it feels good. It feels good when God is using you to solve problems, to pray for people who need prayer, and, you know, when somebody whom the Holy Spirit can count on, that if there is somebody down there who needs prayer, maybe I'll place it on so-and-so, and you'll pray for that person. Because some people can't pray for themselves. Maybe they are too sick. Maybe they are baby Christians. Maybe for all sorts of reasons. Now, they may not be in position to pray for themselves. But you who is a Christian for a while, learn how to practice these things. Okay? Practice these things. You do not perfect them one day. Nothing is going to be perfected one day. Practice them. Okay? If you're the kind of person who speaks in tongues, when you're speaking in tongues, okay, and you've cleared your mind of all the rubbish, you know, now here is the thing, your mind has so many things. Now, when you start praying in tongues, sometimes your mind is full of the day's events and what, because sometimes I go and watch football, and I watch my team and all this emotion, then afterwards I have to pray after the football. So I take time to clear my mind of all the football, because I want to pray. And the Bible says that in 1 Peter 4:7, let us clear our minds for the practice of prayer. Now, when I start praying in tongues, the things that often come to my mind, as so many times, not all the time, so many times, are directions from God for myself, what I should do, what I should emphasize, where I should put my next effort, even how I'm supposed, what I should do the following day. So at night I'm praying, then I feel the next day I'm supposed to do something. And this thing comes strongly in me at the time of praying, especially in the spirit, praying in the spirit. Why? Because that opens up your spirit to a number of things. So anyhow, then that is one of the cardinal ways in which, you know, you can get direction. But so remember this, if you seek direction, you'll get direction. If you have questions that you have to ask, there are so many things in scripture, even the some of the things that I teach about here, about the end time, that never made any sense to me from the book of Revelation. You read the scripture, you read it over and over. I just can't tell you how many times I've read that book. I go to sleep on it so many times. So many times I wake up on it, the book of Revelation. But sometimes, no matter how much you do it, it does not make any sense. So I ask God, ask the Holy Spirit who wrote it, what is the meaning of this? He does not answer immediately always. Sometimes, by the way, there are times he has answered immediately. But he doesn't always answer immediately. Now, sometimes you ask and you keep it there hanging as a question in your spirit to him. Then one day, out of nowhere, you are reading something and something flashes in your mind, or you even tune on television and there's a news item and something flashes in your mind that there is your answer. And sometimes it even takes months, but it has been hanging there as a question. So I want you to get into the habit of asking God, what is the meaning of this? Okay? Because the Bible says the Holy Spirit is your teacher. He is a teacher. Okay? So ask him, what's the meaning of this? What does this mean? I'm seeing how many horses, what, red horses, green horses. What's the meaning of this? You're the one who wrote this. What does it mean? And give him time. Sometimes it might come immediately. Sometimes I take its time. Now remember, as I summarize this, the first thing you always have to learn and practice is the intuition, that peace in your mind. If you do not have peace about anything, and you feel a red light about whatever the decision. I remember a lady was going to get married, and she went to somebody who told her that, you know, the week before the wedding, don't do it. Don't do it. She said, how can I not do it? She said, don't do it. But something inside her is telling her also that don't do it. she did it. And my, she wishes she hadn't done it. But you see, there is always that thing. There is nothing bad that happens to you without that feeling. That you, when you feel there is something not right. Okay? So learn how to heed it. The second one I told you about is dreams. Learn how to take them seriously. The third one is impressions. Okay? And then the fourth one is just learn how to ask the direction of the Spirit. I've actually, now this of course is something that takes a while to teach. I've taught it today. Now next week we are going to talk about the Antichrist, what the Bible says about him, and we are going to start naming people on the world scene who have qualities that are, well, might kind of qualify them to be the Antichrist. Now I'm going to start mentioning names. Now this is going to get interesting, and I'll tell you why different people think different people would be the Antichrist. Remember, he's alive and well today. I mean, the beast, the Antichrist. So, thank you so much for joining. But you can, of course, contact us on Ugandan Watchman, ugandanwatchman@gmail.com. If you have any question to ask, if you want to partner with this ministry, and the Lord has told me to pray for new partners. As told myself, actually, he didn't tell me, he told a colleague of mine, who is a partner of mine, a trusted colleague of mine, to pray for new partners. So we are praying for that. If you want to partner, UgandanWatchman@gmail.com, or if you even want recordings, again, send. If you haven't gotten them and you sent earlier, send again. Don't get tired, because the person keeps on picking email addresses and sending, the person who sends the emails. But then in the meantime, you can also get emails from, the link from people who have it. Because those who have it are free to share it with anybody. So if you know somebody who has the link, just tell him to send it to you if we are delaying to send the messages to you.
That was The Watchman with fascinating insight into the end times. Join us again next week for another update on Bible prophecy.